In 1990s Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, Patricia Campbell's life has become a monotonous routine of caring for her psychiatrist husband Carter, their children Corey and Blue, and her senile mother-in-law. Her one escape is her true crime book club, where she and four other housewives gather to discuss the darkest corners of humanity rather than the literary classics expected of proper Southern ladies. When James Harris moves to town following his aunt's death, his charm and business acumen quickly win over the community. But Patricia begins noticing disturbing patterns. Children disappearing from 6 Mile, the predominantly black neighborhood where Harris is developing luxury homes. As evidence mounts that Harris might be something inhuman, Patricia discovers that the greatest horror isn't supernatural predators, but being systematically silenced by those sworn to protect her.
What makes these suburban housewives uniquely equipped to battle evil? The very domestic skills society dismisses. When Grace defends their daily routine, every day all the chaos and messiness of life happens, and every day we clean it all up, she articulates the invisible power these women wield. Their attention to detail becomes investigative prowess. Their social networking provides intelligence gathering. Their homemaking routines offer perfect cover for monster hunting. The brilliance of positioning housewives against vampires lies in how it subverts both horror tropes and social expectations. These women aren't chosen ones with special powers. They're overlooked middle-aged mothers whose greatest strength is persistence. They notice the missing children others ignore, because noticing details is what they do every day. When Harris manipulates the men with investment opportunities, the women see through his charm because they've spent lifetimes navigating social facades. Their battle isn't just against a supernatural threat, but against a system designed to keep them silent and separated.
What initially appears as morbid entertainment, discussing brutal murders over finger sandwiches and wine, transforms into essential preparation for confronting evil. The book club's reading selections eerily parallel their unfolding nightmare. Helter Skelter introduces them to charismatic predators who build loyal followings. The Stranger Beside Me teaches them how monsters blend seamlessly into communities. In Cold Blood prepares them for crossing moral boundaries they never imagined approaching. When the men dismiss true crime as trashy reading material, they reveal their discomfort with women educating themselves about predation. Carter's horror at discovering Patricia's book club stems not from its gruesome content, but from realizing these women have been systematically studying humanity's capacity for evil. This knowledge threatens the patriarchal structure that relies on women remaining naive about certain darker truths. The philosophical question emerges repeatedly. Does intimate knowledge of darkness serve as armor against it, or does it corrupt the observer? As Patricia and her friends confront Harris, they must decide whether their accumulated knowledge of human depravity is a shield or a contagion that's changed them irrevocably. James Harris subverts vampire tropes while preserving their essence. Unlike romantic vampires of modern fiction, he embodies vampirism's original metaphor, the parasitic exploiter draining communities. His predation extends beyond blood to economics. His gracious K development promises prosperity while actually destroying 6 Mile's predominantly black community. What makes Harris truly terrifying isn't supernatural abilities, but his weaponization of social conventions. He recognizes that in this community, politeness trumps protection, and women's concerns are easily dismissed. When Patricia witnesses him feeding on a child, her accusation is reframed as hysteria, with her husband forcing her to apologize to Harris. Harris's community integration follows a calculated pattern mirroring real-world predators. He targets Patricia at her most vulnerable moment, after being bitten by his aunt and humiliated at the hospital. His excessive gratitude disarms her defenses. When she helps him establish utilities and banking, he rewards her with cash she hides rather than deposits, creating the first secret wedge in her marriage.
The most terrifying aspect of Patricia's ordeal isn't the vampire, but the systematic dismissal of her concerns. When she reports seeing Harris feeding on a child, Carter, her psychiatrist husband, leads neighborhood men in forcing her to apologize. This encapsulates the novel's insidious horror, how women's perceptions are invalidated when they threaten male authority or economic interests. Carter's betrayal is profound. Rather than supporting his wife, he pathologizes her concerns, suggesting medication instead of belief. His professional knowledge becomes a weapon of control. When Patricia attempts suicide after being isolated, Carter frames it as further evidence of her instability rather than a desperate cry for help from someone whose reality has been denied. This gaslighting creates a suffocating atmosphere where Patricia doubts her own perceptions. After hospitalization, she suppresses memories of what she saw, telling herself it had been dark and it had probably been nothing. Internal gaslighting that becomes a survival mechanism in a world that punishes women for speaking uncomfortable truths. The novel's arc moves from women divided by social expectations to united against supernatural evil. The book club transforms into a battle foundation where each woman contributes distinct strengths. Patricia's research, Kitty's courage, Grace's meticulousness, Mary Ellen's institutional access, and Mrs. Green's moral clarity. This solidarity doesn't come easily. When Patricia first accuses Harris, the group fractures under social pressure. Grace chooses propriety over protection, walking out rather than joining what she calls a lynch mob, exemplifying how patriarchal systems maintain power by keeping women isolated and competing for male approval. The turning point comes through tragedy when Slick, confronting Harris alone, suffers a brutal attack. Her violation becomes undeniable evidence that individual action cannot defeat such a predator. Reuniting in Slick's hospital room, the women form an unbreakable pact that transcends their differences. The climactic dismemberment scene represents their collective power. Each woman contributes to Harris's defeat, from Kitty's physical strength to Grace's organizational skills in disposing of remains. Their domestic expertise, skills society dismisses, becomes their salvation. The Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires celebrates the heroism of the overlooked. These women, dismissed as silly Southern ladies discussing books over wine, become their community's only defense against supernatural evil. Their victory comes through qualities society undervalues: attention to detail, persistent care, and unwavering solidarity. The novel refuses easy triumph, showing lasting scars from both Harris's predation and the women's necessary violence. Slick pays the ultimate price, dying from Harris's infection despite their victory. Patricia's marriage ends, though this liberation allows her to finally see Carter not as the idealized provider, but as someone whose values fundamentally oppose her own. As Patricia reflects, what remains after trauma is more precious for what was lost. This bittersweet wisdom encapsulates the novel's approach to horror and healing. There are no perfect victories, only the ongoing choice to protect what matters, clean up ignored messes, and believe women's stories, especially the frightening ones. In Patricia and her book club, we find a tribute to those who keep reading, cleaning, and fighting long after others have given up, proving that evil's most formidable opponents might be found not in dark alleys, but in bright suburban kitchens.